Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cry to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land. Leading the way to heaven's bright shore, troublesome waters I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Bill.
Hello, guys.
Bob, how are you gentlemen doing tonight?
I'm great.
You too. Thank you.
Doing very good, Bill. Very good. Audience, tonight we're going to cover our Revelation 13 study, and after current events we'll be having a short study by Bill that is a compilation of what we've been going over for the past 4 weeks, not only in this study, but in real life. You know, and as we are admonished by our Lord Jesus Christ to point you to Him, you know, He admonishes us to pray that we're not deceived. And then doing so, we study the scriptures to give the proper rendering of scripture, as we were admonished to do. And we do pray that we're not deceived, audience. Out there in the world is deception, and we're preaching repentance of your sins. And out in the world they're taking evil for good, and we're asking you to take a look at the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and know the mystery, and to study yourself approved, and to be sure of your election, and to be lively stones that understand the scriptures, the meat of scriptures. And turning soberly to Brother Chris, we have current events. There's a lot going on. Chris, what do you have for us tonight?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. It's a real, I don't know what the word, it's, you know, theater out there. This is Osama bin Laden, escapades that's going on. They're just, they take these lies and they just build upon them and build upon them and build upon them. And it's really, it's absolutely amazing. Now we've got the SEAL team, the Team SEAL 6 or something like that?
SEAL Team 6.
SEAL Team 6. Yeah, Disney's got the trademark. So there's going to be SEAL Team 6 action figures in McDonald's in a couple weeks, I'm sure. And, yeah, it's just nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
You know what? You have superheroes like this. There's really no need for Jesus anymore.
That's right. Yeah, I saw a Superman movie at the library over the weekend, and I thought, oh, boy, another Superman movie. Superman never made out well. Do you know that? All the Superman characters all came to a not a very pleasant end.
That's true. George Reeves had a mysterious death or murder or whatever, and
Christopher Reeve had.
Yeah.
Christopher Reeves, right? Both of them. You're right. It's funny that both their names were Reeves, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I never thought of that before. I never thought of that. Huh.
But yeah, there's several things going on. I would probably want to point the listeners to the thirdgreatawakening.org, Beast Watch section. I mean, there's a few entries there updated from last, you know, from a while. I kind of wax and wane on my, you know, the way I keep up with that. I just save it for significant things. I know there were a couple real significant articles, all pertaining to the rise of the, you know, the beast as we see Israel becoming. I don't know if you've noticed this, but up till now, through all this Middle East shenanigans, whatever we want to call it, Israel, you haven't really heard a lot about Israel. They've been kind of like in the back wings. We know
that's
they're
true.
There. But they haven't been making a lot of noise about Israel. It's been about everything else, but we all know it's going to end up there. But, oh, yeah, it's sure, you know, there's so much cooking. You know, there's a really big article. I think you sent me this, Bill, the Vatican Grand Master, ready to return and bring peace to Jerusalem. You know, and this is the key, you know, when they say peace and security or peace and safety, you know, that's the time to beware. And that's the thing, you know, these people, anybody that is looking for peace on earth is just not reading their stinking Bibles, you know. It's unbelievable how this stuff, these men have just taken it out upon themselves to do it their way, you know. And, you know, obviously they're trying to restore Solomon's kingdom, but it's all Freemasonry deception. You know, because it's so clear that Jesus did not come to bring peace, but a sword. This planet of tribulation is for one purpose, and that is to separate out his flock. God is using this time on earth for the overcomers to, you know, spend eternity with him. That's what it's about. So, I mean, you know, it's just so frustrating to see all the energy that the apostate Christian church is putting into supporting this kind of thing. And then, you know, Glenn Beck, he's right. He is all about Israel now, you know, since it was funny. I don't know if you did you catch that, that the reason that they, you know, so it's all a, you know, mind, but or a, you know, charade, whatever you call it. But, you know, the reason that they granted his show was due to some anti-Semite comment. Did you realize that?
Right.
He had made
right.
some kind of a.
So how is that going to work? You're going to work that out some way.
Yeah. But the next day, he's the keynote speaker at Christians United for Israel. So, yeah, I don't know. What,
yeah,
it's just comical almost. But yeah,
right.
I would just encourage people. And, you know, and bookmark that Beast Watch page on the thirdgreatawakening.org. site, because I commit to, you know, putting up the things that are coming across my computer that are significant and you know. And how about you, Bob? You've got something really huge about the gates, huh? You know, in Israel, the Palestinians, right? Today.
Yes, the all the Palestinian people from the surrounding countries are coming to the gates surrounding Israel to support the Palestinians. And there's been exchange of fire and a great multitude of people, thousands and thousands, and it's not being reported much. And it won't be. The Middle East is, as is all the news, is a total blackout. What we can glean is that currently, I would say bigger than this issue, which is going to grow because there's probably going to be more killing over there, is the Japanese nuclear power catastrophe. And audience, I ask that you pray for the people of Japan who are in a total news blackout as to the utter destruction that is upon them. This is the worst disaster that there's ever been. And radiation doesn't go away. And it lands everywhere. And it's in the wind. And there's some very bad wind over there. And no one can get a handle on how bad this situation is. But anything that has to do with radioactivity, being put in the wind as bad can be. Could possibly destroy the Pacific Ocean. In the last year, we had the Gulf of Mexico, which is an ongoing soft kill. Billions and millions of gallons of poison put into the ocean, and the effects are long-term. You'll never see the you'll never see it on the news. You'll just know that people are dying there. Brother Chris?
Yeah, I definitely say avoid fish.
Everything that's ocean-borne is in peril.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the Gulf, and not, you know, that's the, that sea, now this the sea, you know, the Pacific Ocean, and, you know, it's just, you know, anybody that doesn't realize the perilous times we're in. And I just cringe when I hear optimism out there in the you know, in the church. It's just the people that are in denial looking for I don't know what they're looking for, you know.
Well, I just want to say, but this, you audience, in studying yourself approved, are admonished. Excuse me. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. An audience, the proper rendering of that is this burden of the world is pretty light. If he knows every hair on your head, then you can conceivably think that every isotope of radioactivity is accounted for, and it's not going into your mouth because you're protected by the armor of the Lord to see all this. And on one level, they can create every natural disaster, but you stand in the Lord Jesus Christ to do his will.
Amen.
And the miracles that may not be manifesting, because they're not going to tell you about them on the news, are that the ones that stand with our Lord Jesus Christ, they're still standing.
That's right.
And it's not the fact that you're doing Satan's will. It's about Satan gets you to do your will, not the will of the Father. That's the deception. We're to align ourselves with God's will. And that's where the peace and safety is. I mean, that's where the true safety. I mean, the world could be falling down around us. I mean, but you know, we're going to have that spiritual safety where we are protected. You know, because it is God's protection is a very real piece of the end time scenario here for God's elect, because you know you enter into your chamber. And, you know, that's the truth, you know, standing in the truth, abiding in Christ, abiding in the will of God within the framework of his will. And, and it's locked in Jesus' yoke. And it's just so, hard to understand once you experience it and you know the peace and rest, you know, it's the Sabbath rest, you know, being in the rest. And it is a peaceful place to be. And it's just after experiencing it, you can't imagine going back. But unfortunately, the world is building, climbing and building and climbing their way into heaven, and setting goals and it's just all it's all flesh activity that is just exhausting, to say the least. Go ahead.
The proper rendering of that. Pray, audience, because you're told what to pray for and what not to pray for. And when you're praying, you're binding oneself. You're in petition, you're beseeching, you're praying, you're making a request to the Lord, our God, Jesus Christ. But that prayer comes with a petition, and it's scriptural. And our Lord admonishes us to be aware of that. And when you petition, it is also to desire, to make, to pray, to request. So we're told in Psalms 25, we will rejoice in thy salvation, in the name of our God, we will set up our banners, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. That's your petitions, audience. You can petition the Lord. It is his will that you understand this. And we're admonished in Matthew 6:7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Now this is the prelude to the Our Father, audience. You're to petition the Lord to do His will, and you are told to sin no more and go, and to study yourself approved. Love thy neighbor and love thy God. That's the proper rendering of Scripture. Yet we have 34,000 denominations and every type of apostate teaching on the internet. And there you, audience, have the truth. You can petition the Lord to know the truth. And His burden is light. And it's light for those people in Tokyo that have His light. And it's very, very dark for those that don't.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, talk about tribulation. I mean, these people in Japan are experiencing, you know, as much tribulation as you can even conceive. And you just know that you hear that the Lord is using it for His purpose. And I hate to say this, but, you know, this is coming here. You know, we're going to experience every bit of this in one way or another. You know, and one quick thing about the current events and the something to watch for, you know, and I just know that there's a false flag coming, another false flag event. And it's always, you know, it's such a signature around these past false flag events has been, you know, a drill going live. So I'm just giving you a heads up to watch for that kind of thing. And if they're going to do something with this New Madrid fault drill that's going on, it started today, you know, somewhere in the middle, who knows, you know, they've got all the FEMA forces are out and I don't know, you know, who knows what these people are up to. But all this stuff on all the layers, you know, it comes as a thief in the night, and it's just a matter of being ready, whatever in season or not season or whatever it says, we've got to keep our armor on 24/7, you know, our spiritual armor, being ready to take whatever comes, because what's going to happen is those of us in the truth are going to be the ones who understand among the people. Those who understand among the people will instruct many, you know, and this is what's coming. You know, these multitude are going to be crying out for answers. And, you know, I'm sure that you and the audience have experienced what I've experienced, the rejection and betrayal and all those things that come with the truth. The hatred that they hated Jesus. You know, they hate you because they hated Jesus. But,
Brother Bill. Brother Bill, are you with us?
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah, I'd say the spreading disease is unbelief, which is madness. That's what's coming to a theater near you.
And that scriptural audience.
The nations are mad. It says that in Babylonian. It says that in Jeremiah chapter 50-51.
They revert back to madness because of their unbelief, and the restrainer, like you said, Chris, the restrainer, the gospel has been taken out of the way, and that's what brings about this madness and unbelief. There's no belief in the heart. When there's no belief in the heart, there's no way that God can write His laws in your heart. So without God's law, you know, they could pretend to do Moses' law all day long, and it just doesn't matter. You can't do the law in the flesh. As we saw, that didn't work in Israel. That turned to complete madness there too. And that's where we're headed for, is complete madness. It all comes from unbelief.
If it's not already here.
Yes.
If it's not already here, yes. Audience.
Well, it already is here. It's just going to increase.
It's going to increase, yeah.
In Matthew 6:14, we're told, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, audience, This may sound like a metaphorical answer to that, but you need to prepare yourself to forgive everyone. The brother, the sister, the neighbor, the mechanic, the banker, the president, the apostate church, the false gospels, the deceivers, you need to do as the Lord admonishes us. The proper rendering is you forgive all.
Amen.
Let the Lord judge.
That's the killer, is bitterness and unforgiveness.
The world would be healed overnight.
Yeah, it would.
You don't have to look for any magic solutions. I mean, if God can heal Paul, can you imagine if all of us...
Bill, we're losing your sound.
Oh. Testing?
A little better. How's it? Give me one more.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you're just a little weak on us there, Bill, but...
Okay,
Oh, there you go. Excuse our technical difficulties, we are not professionals.
To say the least.
Except I must say, Brother Chris is becoming quite the engineer.
The head of the group there.
Yeah, excuse me. Regardless, still, folks, don't try this at home.
Yes.
Whether we're professionals or not, but...
The proper rendering of that scripture, as Brother Bill will tell you when he's all set up, is that you have to prepare yourself to do that, audience. That is there's a time that you go through a period of great struggle. Because the ones closest to you that have hurt you the most are the ones that you struggle to forgive. But you're admonished to do that. And I had great struggle with business associates and old friends that parted on bad terms. But that is a trial that you need to go through. And it's one of the mysteries of the gospel, is to understand that process. Brother Bill.
Absolutely. It's a binder of resentment in you. And it says, lest your bands be tightened in Isaiah. And that's what happens. Your bands just get tighter and tighter. Could you imagine? Jesus actually could not have finished his work if he had bound that up on the cross. If he had resentment there.
And Stephen is a good example of that. Stephen,
yes.
In terms of, there's Paul, he's there for the stoning, and he couldn't carry on his ministry without their forgiveness.
That's right.
Yeah, but for Jesus to say that, forgive them, for they know not what they do, can't even imagine that.
And they don't, audience. The people out here that are doing this, they have no clue. They're not to know. When Jesus talked to the multitude, he says it is for them not to know these things. That's why I speak in parables. And we can all agree, the proper rendering of the simple parable. Let's move Bill's parable studies up, Chris, to
okay.
The front of the website. And please, audience, with someone that has the proper rendering of these very simplest parables and the identities that are associated with them, may have a chance to see all of this. Because the apostate church and every whim of doctrine and sorcery is out there not to have the proper rendering of Scripture. And it is of the Lord's will that that should be. Chris?
Amen. But there's just so much going on. And, we've just, we're going to probably tie it in with the kingdom, the next part of the kingdom study. But there's just something that we've been putting our arms around with. First off, the restrainer. And as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the man of sin, the son of perdition, that let me pull up. Give me 2 seconds. I'll pull it right up. The let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And really, the Old Testament parallel to that is Isaiah chapter 13 and 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. And, you know, it's simple connection, you know, that I've been reading both of these portions of Scripture, and it just realized this is the same thing. It's talking about the same thing. You know, when the man of sin, which, you know, Bill's got some great insight into that, but when the man of sin, the son of perdition, or when that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, you know, who that is. And it's, you know, it's also tied to the, I'll let you comment on that, Bill, and then I'll finish up with the beast that was.
Okay. Yeah, I understand the man of sin on a collective layer. It also applies on an individual layer, but we won't address that right now. Well, real quickly, on an individual layer, it's just pride that builds up in a man, and he returns back to his former state of number six man, you know. But I noticed in that Isaiah 14, that chapter that you just read there, and in verse 16, it goes on to say that they shall all, that they see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. This is Satan they're speaking about. And consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth, that did shake the kingdoms?
I knew there was something missing there. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, the man, right? And it just lines up perfectly with 2 Thessalonians 2:3. That man.
Right.
It's man.
I didn't go far enough, yeah. That's amazing.
Man, he's not of his father. He's of his father, the devil, he says, and of lust you'll do in John chapter 8. That's what they are. These are the earth dwellers. These are the ones that are, their heart is full of unbelief. The opposite of faith is unbelief. When you have unbelief, you are an earth dweller.
No.
And that's what happens to man. He just becomes, a collective full of pride.
And we'll find, audience, that it, scripturally, this is, if there's a great falling away, and it's foretold, and this will tie into both your, the thousand-year reign study. So you're foretold that people would be apostate. That's exactly what it says. They will not be preaching sound doctrine. And if you're told that, then you have to wonder, well, how big is that deception, and how long is the duration of that deception? Well, obviously, if we have 34,000 denominations of Christendom, then that great falling away in not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, in not knowing to forgive everyone, of repentance being preached, of a great throne judgment, and the admonishments of the true gospel, then we say that we're in a period of time that there's a famine on the land, and the famine is for the word of God. Anybody disagree?
No.
No,
absolutely. This is exactly where we're heading.
So you have a definitive time frame now, audience, that it may be in the little season, which is what we've been discussing for the past 2 weeks amongst ourselves, and it's not gospel, audience, because the gospel will be revealed in its own time. But the apparent outlaying of this thousand-year reign as being a spiritual understanding, and that Satan being loosened for a little season, definitively kind of tells of our time, and on another layer, great, you know, destruction is upon the earth when two oceans go, and the natural resources are being totally bought up.
guy, they're just going around the world consolidating and buying up everything, right?
Men storing great wealth. And men not caring for the poor. And
the mighty men of renown?
No charity in their heart. Yes,
right.
Exactly. So you have to come to the conclusion that... Well, go ahead, Bill. Or Chris, I'm sorry. I know you want to...
Say. Yeah, and just to tie right into what you're saying, Bob, is the fact that, I will send a famine on the land, not for bread or water, but for hearing of the word of God. And then we're just getting more insight. These are all the simple truths. It's so simple, so repetitive.
Right.
You know, we've been working for a year now. You know, we've been doing the Watchman Weekly for almost a year now, and this stuff just keeps getting more refined, more simple. And really, that's what Sue always said, that she was distilling down the word, and it's kind of like what I feel is happening. You know, we're just distilling. Maybe it's scraping off the dross or all those pictures there. But the idea that just two concepts here. I'll just throw them both out, and we'll tie them together. But Bill, you just really hit on the fact that the time is coming when no man can work, and why? Why is that? And it's because the Jesus, there was no faith. They had no faith in Nazareth. That's why Jesus could get nowhere in his hometown, right?
Yeah. Well, he said in Luke 18, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, we know that that's a future prophecy, but there was
right.
a type and shadow of that prophecy that took place in Luke chapter 4 in verse 29. And he went to his home. He did return to his hometown, and there was no faith there.
Yeah.
In fact, their hearts were so full of unbelief that they wanted to kill him.
And so he couldn't do anything there.
He couldn't. It's right. The father, Jesus couldn't do miracles without faith.
No.
Everybody thought he was God walking around, which he was God, but he was still man, full of Holy Spirit, and he was tested as man. And he was fully man and fully God, both. But it was still, if you had no faith, there was nothing that he could do for you. And yet a woman just barely touched his robe, which is the complete opposite because she had the faith of a mustard seed, and she became healed.
Amen.
With people pushing him everywhere.
Yeah.
And they say, what do you mean somebody touched you? And he says, I felt the power go out of me. That's just a paraphrase.
Right, but the paraphrase actually, audience, if you look up that scripture, it was a continence, maybe. I don't have it in front of me, but it was significant. That was significant, audience.
That's the faith of a mustard seed. There's other people pushing and shoving, and the whole... I think he might have been coming out of a synagogue, but I'm not sure. And some lady just reached to touch his robe because she was full of faith and she was healed. A faith is the opposite of unbelief.
This ties in, Bill. Bill, this is you. The man of sin on a collective layer of Scripture is a man filled with unbelief. There is no faith.
Yes. So his heart goes back. What happens is his heart goes back to Jeremiah 17. It says, man's heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who could know it? See, Jesus Christ is not in your heart. There's no faith. Deep down, see, in your heart, he knows secret mysteries about you that you don't know until you've been tested for that time. There may come a time of testing for you where you may not know, unbelief only... does the dark deeds of the flesh. It dwells in the deceitful and wicked heart of man. This is the uncircumcised heart. It knows no
yes.
light, and it can do no spiritual good works. It can't do any spiritual good works. That's why he said the night cometh. He says the night cometh when man can do no work. The night
that's right.
dark.
That's right.
That's when man
that's what circumcision is. The foreskin is blindness.
Right. It comes in and it allows the light.
And then this ties in with the Amos, I will send a famine on the land. And it's just so obviously and so clear that what we're seeing is the fact that the gospel is the restrainer. And that, Satan was bound at the cross and because of the gospel message. The gospel went out, and the beast was received its deadly wound. You know, on a physical layer, 70 A.D., 40 years after the, time of repentance after the gospel, that all of Israel, blindness in part has happened to Israel. I see that as a dual fulfillment. I see that blindness in part happened to Israel. And I believe that, many of the, Hebrews woke up, in that period of time before the tribulation of the temple in 70 A.D., the destruction of the temple and all the events surrounding that. But anyway, the beast that was, was the pride in the religious system that killed our Savior, killed
Jesus. Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees.
And that beast had a deadly wound. What's that, Bill?
Their hearts were full of unbelief.
Their hearts were
When you have unbelief in your heart, it leads to madness of the mind, and it makes you want to kill.
Yeah. Oh man.
And as you,
there are solutions. We have to kill this person.
Yeah. On a spiritual layer, that's what's happening today. People getting kicked out of churches. That's a spiritual, manifestation of being killed. You're just being cut off from the fellowship.
If you're a pastor in the church and you're listening to this show, you need to study Nicodemus. You need to study why we know this and no one else does.
He told Nicodemus, I forget how many times there, he said, verily, verily, there's two, verily, verily, lest a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You got no eyesight. You got no spiritual eyesight. You can't see.
And when I say we, that's you, audience. When we see this, if we have understanding with the proper scriptures, that they are deceived, we're not kidding. This little season, it's
and
a revelation.
And the reason is because of that gospel that went out, and then the beast that was not. So the beast was not, because the gospel message overcame the beast.
And he was restrained. He was in his prison, right.
He was in his prison.
Right, and the false prophet, actually, it's in Job chapter 40, Behemoth, the false prophet.
Yeah.
Right at the end of that chapter 40, Behemoth sucks up all the water of River Jordan. That's why there's a famine on the land. Now, the next chapter, you got the beast coming back, 41, Leviathan.
Okay.
And that's why the beast comes back, because there's no gospel. The Behemoth sucked up all the living water. There's no gospel anymore.
Yeah, and that's what happened. We see, through our timeline of, ultimately 47, 48, when the pale horse, came to power, and all the forces that, we really see that's the time when the gospel really became threatened. When the attack of the gospel really
became a threat, right?
It really was out of the gate. I mean, the preparation the 100 years before that with the cults and all the Billy Sundays or Billy Sunday, is that his name, or Billy Holiday or Billy Sunday, one of those.
I think it was Billy Sunday.
Yeah, Billy Sunday. Like the predecessor to Billy Graham, but the merchandising format of evangelism, which got people fired up on the gospel message. Maybe it was a true gospel message. But
they even had brush arbors in the 1930s during the Depression. People would meet on brush arbors in the side of the road and just start pulling out a Bible and repenting of sins and stuff, during the hard times of the Depression.
Oh, boy.
Right out of a truck, and they'd put up a tent and people would be repenting. So they had to get rid of that after World War II. So yeah, they go, you know, they had set the stage, we know, for quite a while before. But now they're going to put the church behind the eight ball with this 501c3. That's what they did. They put the church behind the eight ball, you know, and they...
We'll jump into our study in Revelation just exactly about that in a little while here. But the you know, the fact that the beast, the pale horse beast kingdom was manifest.
And it was a massive manipulation of the church in 1954 when they got that. They manipulated into the church right into the spot where they wanted them.
Right now, it's all going to come to fruition for now, because they're under the control of the IRS beast system. And but the the beast that was on the scene after the war began to corrupt the covenant with flatteries. You know, the mass media, you know, absolutely. Hugh Hefner, the rock and roll music, the feminist movement, all came against the gospel. Prayer in the schools, the Masonic support.
Proper.
And now here we are, 2011, and God's gone from society. I mean, whereas, you know, he's in the wilderness. You know, Jesus Christ is in the wilderness, you know, with the remnant.
This all happened. He said in Genesis chapter 6, he says, my spirit can no longer strive with man because he's also flesh. That he's also flesh. Guess who that is? That's the Antichrist.
The Antichrist.
And audience, when we do the conclusion of this study, you'll also find that... You were told in advance this by the Old Testament prophets, whose examples in telling Old Testament Israel that you're not to mingle at all. This is the word of God. It is sacred. You're not to defile it. And when you look out at what is happening in the world right now, this gospel is totally defiled. And men are seeking every doctrine of Satan, and they're getting it in they're getting as much as they want. They could buy any CD. They could turn on any TV. They can listen to any radio station, and they're getting the doctrine of Satan, and they don't even know it.
Yeah, they have itching ears, and they can go to any one of the churches in the smorgasbord and get find a pastor to tell them whatever they want to hear.
You, audience, are told in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 3, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts be faint, fear not, and do not terrible, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. An audience, this fight, as we're told through the Apostle Paul, is not in the flesh. You get to witness this in the flesh. In the spirit, as we're told, you must be born again in the spirit to see these things. In the spirit, this is the Lord telling you that he is with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.
Absolutely.
If you understand.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead there, Bob.
Go ahead, Brother Bill.
Well, when Nicodemus said, when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, people think that's a future event. This is after you die and you're going to see the kingdom of God. And maybe there's a reading there. I'm not saying
that. No, it's definitely present tense.
But, right, he said, see the, right, he's talking about, and there ain't a church out there that could tell you this. He's talking about right now, he's telling Nicodemus. You need to be born right now to see the kingdom of God right now.
Uh-huh. To understand
every generation.
Yeah. Because a natural man understands not the things of God.
And going into our study, audience, you have to understand the context of the last verses of Revelation 13. And in the context of that, which Brother Chris and Brother Bill are going to outlay, you have to look at other scripture and say, well, what is a mark? And the significant scripture, and I don't have it in front of me, is the destruction of Jerusalem in terms of the marking of the people that were laminating because of the other people that lost faith. The other people that were mingled and not of God anymore. We're told
that's a very good analysis.
Yes, that Mark was a man in a plain robe, went out to find anybody in Jerusalem. Go find anybody in Jerusalem that is just crying about all this mess. How bad it is, how mingled the holy word of God is, and mark them. And to the others, totally and utterly destroy them. And that's the truth of Scripture, audience.
And that's where we're at today. You got 430 major denominations, and we know that there's 34,000 counting the non-denominations and whatever, but there's about 430 major ones. And you can take the gospel of Jesus Christ and go through each one of those and just shoot them down one at a time. In 5-10 minutes, you can prove each one of being another gospel.
Because you are told by the Lord, this is the truth.
You could take the Pentecost and all the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Baptists, any of them. You can take you 5 or 10 minutes and just go right through Scripture and prove their lies.
And Scripture tells you that there's a great multitude out there that will come to the Lord. What it doesn't tell you is when. And the thing that you have to wrestle with, audience, is when our Lord Jesus Christ comes in a like manner, how much notice are you going to have? Does that multitude wake up when he's coming and every knee is looking, and every knee is bowing and everybody's looking at him? Because he already knows everybody's judgment. And that's the difference in the 1,000-year reign study that the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ is now.
Right.
And if we're admonished to get our houses in order because they come like a thief in the night, and there's a great multitude that we're told through Scriptures will wake up, well, you know, is it 5-second notice? Is it a day's notice? Or is it tonight? And that's the way we were told to think about this, to have our house in order tonight. You are the temple of the Lord, and follow what Jesus Christ wherever he goeth. Brother Chris, when we go into Revelation 13:15, do you want to set this up?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be my pleasure. We're going to wrap up our study of Revelation 13. Tonight, and we're going to probably put together a synopsis show that will just be strictly the material covered covering the chapter, as far as these Watchmen Weekly shows goes. So I'll keep you posted on that, folks. But to just set the stage to where we left off up to all the shows up till now. It really gets down to the earth dwellers. Who are the earth dwellers and them that dwell on the earth? We see this as the group of people in Revelation 13 that the chapter is really essentially about. Revelation.
They're going to be
14.
All the smiling faces.
Yeah. Well, I think for this time we actually see them as the baby boomers, multitudes of the baby boom generation. Are really what this end time scenario is about. They're the ones, this is the thing. The earth dwellers, Luke 21:35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Revelation 3:10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world and try them that dwell upon the earth. I mean, the snare, the hour of temptation. What is that? Well, hopefully by the end of the night tonight, we're going to understand that, in the deep way that the Lord is, intended for us to understand. And really, the bottom line is, them that dwell on the earth are the ones that have the mark of the beast. So, the mark of the beast, those are the ones that get the RFID chip, huh? I heard they have that perfected.
I want to invest in that because I know everybody's going to have to get that.
Yeah,
that's a
Christians
good one.
Need to invest in the RFID chip.
Well, the thing is about it, you know, you can like if you're a good gambler, you can play both sides of that. If you're going to be in the rapture, you can be raptured, and if you're not, you can make a bunch of money and have to stay here. So you're going to win both ways. See, you can have your bets.
And not to. Just a short comment, audience. That we, in our pre-show discussion, I sorry to interrupt. Just a second, Chris. I think this is important. The rapture believers are now putting a new date. Do we know that date?
21st. May 21st.
Okay. And audience, we urge you to witness this as an example. I would urge you to go to a rapture forum. And just read the people that are deceived and read the context of what they're thinking because they think this is it.
Okay? That's right.
And what you're going to find is there's not a lot of talk of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So what that's going to bring unbelief to some people when this doesn't happen.
It'll totally destroy them. It'll totally destroy them and they are led by an idol shepherd. That is in it. He's a money changer from the very beginning. And we're told that he has the greater damnation. Brother Bill?
Yeah, the terms rapture and millennial reign have both done great damage.
Oh,
great
gosh.
Damage. You know, rapture is not even a word. It comes out of the Latin. I think it's Jerome's Latin, harpizio. You know, it's not even in the Greek. And, that word in the millennial reign have done enormous damages. Some people like to say, well, the rapture comes when Jesus returns at the end and you get caught up in the air. But I just recommend not even using that term at all because it muddies the water.
Well, Brother Bill, the proper rendering of harpazo is not the air. In scriptures, it's broken down a little more. I didn't know if you knew this or not.
No, I didn't. I just knew it came from the Latin.
Right. So the rapture doctrine teaches that he will be in the air. Okay, and we're told by the angels that he will come in a like manner. So he will land on the earth and begin the great throne judgment. Now, if you take the proper rendering of scripture, harpazo means it is under the context of when Jesus was being taken captive. And the apostles saw the coming of the guards. They saw the smoke rising from the hoofs of the horses. And that is how they knew that these people were coming. So that is not the proper rendering of scripture is it's not in the air, it's actually the smoke coming from the ground. If he lands in like manner, he lands on the earth, terra firma. And that's what it's likened to.
There'll probably smoke coming on the ground too.
Yes, there will be great.
Smoke is the Lord's anger.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead, Brother Chris.
Okay. We're gonna touch on 13:15, and then go. We'll tie this thing together for you folks. Revelation 13:15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And this is so amazing, so profound, even from the last week. This the simple truth that's being communicated here is just, I finished up the show last week, you guys, with the word speak, you know, just realizing the false prophet is about speaking. And so when you hear speak, you're hearing the false prophet. And this is who this is right here. The false prophet is causing them, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, which is the harlot church. The image of the beast is the corporate harlot 501c3 church. And this is the thing that has life, because this is what's going on today. The church is the thing. The church is the entity. It's the deity, essentially. I mean, they don't come out and say that. You know, they sling the word Jesus around, you know, all over the place. But the fact of the matter is, it's the hive, it's the group that is the thing, that is the constant message I see out there today, is that you've got to be involved, you got to be a part of that church structure. But, you know, we see in Scripture that those that see the abomination of desolation, spoken of in Daniel, flee Judah. And Judah is, you know, symbolic of the church. And so, you know, God's remnant see it. In other words, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. You know, that word see. And, you know, this is what's going on. The false prophet, the whole body, the whole collective apostate body, or the pastor in your local church that you're trusting, that you're believing, that you're listening to. And, you know, we don't want to sound so judgmental, but I'm telling you, there is something absolutely, linked to the corporate church as the image of the beast and deception. I mean, it's this, we know on this group, the three of us have not found a corporate church speaking the truth. And I'm sorry, you know, if you show me one, I'll be all over it. I'll embrace it. But
will you go to their bake sale?
It depends. It depends on what they have. Or their potluck. You know, I do miss the potlucks. I have to say that. There were some good ones. It's the snare. You know, it's the snare. It's all a part of that. And it's a mechanical link between your involvement with the corporate church and the deception. And, you know, we see, you know, what do we do in the early shows? You know, when we were just dogmatically telling you to get out of the churches, you know, one of our first shows was called The Ushers. And, you know, we were the ushers showing you the door at the church. And, you know, we do, you know, implore you folks to take our 40-day challenge and get out of the church.
It hasn't
changed. After
40
days, yeah, it hasn't changed. And after that 40-day period of studying your King James Bible with your family in your living room, you know, seeking the Lord, you know, we guarantee that you'll, if something's going to happen, something will click. If you love the truth, you have to love the truth. I mean, that's a prerequisite for all this. You have to have that passion for the truth. If you do, you know, we promise that the Lord will reveal himself to you.
And you will have great fear, audience. Great. You will fear, after you fear the Lord, you will understand.
Yeah.
You will not be taken.
That's what they said in Pentecost, yeah.
You will not be taken in by doctrines of demons. You will stand in the truth, and the burden will be light. But it's a tribulation for you to go through this. And you just have to practice it by forgiving everybody. Forgive everybody.
Amen.
Brother Chris.
Yeah. That bitterness will just eat you alive. But, we see what's that, Bill?
Oh, I wanted to comment about, you were talking about the whole world wandering after the beast.
Yeah.
You were just reading in verse 15 there, was it 15?
Uh-huh.
I wanted to expound on the beast just for a minute. You know, it's man in the flesh, that's who it is. Now, this is a collective sense in the end. And Peter talks about it in 2 Peter. He points it right out. He said in verse 9, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness, despise government, presumptuous, are they self-willed. You talked about following your own will. That's what Satan gets you to do. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Then we get down to verse 12. Peter says what they are. But these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. There's your beast right there. It's man in the flesh.
That's a really good one. I'm going to have to study that one. Yeah, you know, amen, amen, Bill. That is what it is. Ultimately, it's the pride. You know, the pride, mm-hmm. And then the false prophet is the lies. Yep. The lies that cause you to, you know, follow the pride. And this is what we're seeing here. And then it's so amazing that, that he should both speak and cause that as many that would not worship the beast, worship the image of the beast, should be killed. Now, these are the ones who reject the beast, who reject the mark, if you will. And we're going to see that now in the next three verses, what the mark is. But those that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And I had this, I'm an expert
on this.
They don't
walk after the flesh.
Right. And that's what, you know, when the spirit controls you, you see the conflict between what's going on in these harlot churches, because the harlot churches are all flesh. They're all trying to navigate through Scripture with flesh, and it's just not working. It's just not working. And the daily sacrifice has ceased because, you know, the broken spirits and the contrite hearts are just not there in these harlot community centers anymore. You know, the pride has taken over. The beast is ascending, and this is what's taking place. The same pride, religious power that killed Jesus Christ has now ascended. And that man of sin, the son of perdition, is seated in the temple of God, shewing himself to be God over everything that is called God. And, you know, this is the same thing that we're seeing right here. It's the same
exactly
dynamic.
Exactly the same thing in Isaiah 14.
Isaiah 14.
It's a simple audience as your neighbor that's not in Christ. Your friends, your town. It's happening at your corner church, and it's happening in every church in the world, and now you see it. And you see that this is, ye are the temple of the Lord, and the battle is for your mind. Satan wants to ensnare you with pride, to leaven you, to mingle you, so that you're not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. The battle is against you. And Chris is covering the truth of Scripture on the biggest, broadest paintbrush level, but down in the trenches of this spiritual battle that the Lord is fighting for you to have the truth, for you to be the good seed. It's happening all around you. And you're deceived by every wind of doctrine if you don't know this truth. This is our Lord Jesus Christ telling us exactly what's happening. Brother Chris.
Yeah, and then we see the those that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And this, you know, we're probably going to see an ultimate manifestation of this, you know, in the physical. But you know, this is absolutely being carried out now in the spiritual, you know, to be spiritually killed, to be spiritually beheaded, to be cut off from the, you know, from the fellowship. And, you know, this happened to me. You know, I was kicked out of my church for not going along with the, you know, the apostate leadership. And it was not pleasant. But, you know, the Lord took care of me. But I basically in that process was refusing the mark of the beast, because this is what we're going to find. Revelation 13:16, and he causeth. Now he is the false prophet, and he on a grand scale he's the corporate church. On a individual scale, he's your pastor. He's your hireling, your hireling pastor who is in lies, who is making lies his refuge, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. I'm going to go right ahead and read 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. you want to comment on that, Bill, before I jump into some of the merchandising verses?
Yeah, I'd like to just touch on 16. We covered this last week that there's six in that verse 16. I mean, that's that is a bad number. Rich and poor, free bond, and small and great. You got a six there. That's man. That's the flesh. They're identifying it. The faith in the heart walks in the spirit. Unbelief in the heart walks in the flesh. And that's who gets these marks. It's these people that with unbelief in the heart and they walk in the flesh. And what they have been, it says he causes all. When they get full of these lies from the false prophet, they get so full of lies, it causes them to just be puffed up and they become prideful. It causes them all to, you know, to lust after the flesh and pound their chest like a gorilla in the jungle.
Hmm. Amen. But we see this buy or sell. And, you know, the rapture cult would have you believe this is the RFID chip that will take the place of your debit card, you know, right, and plant it in your skin. And, hey, who knows? That might happen, but it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with anything here.
But, it, you know what, it does matter? Because we're told in advance this is what's going to happen. We're not told about the chip. But we're told in First Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, the foolishness of men is that they're going to stick a chip in somewhere and think they have control over you. Control what you think.
But they've already got that. They missed it by 70 years. It was called a social security number.
And how are they doing it? They're doing it by peace and safety.
Yeah.
This will take care of all this. You don't have to do this. You don't have to, you know, everybody will know who you are.
Convenience.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway, you can't buy or sell now without the social security number. We saw that with the college students and their loans, that show you were telling me about. That's a classic example right there.
Sure is.
They're always looking for something to happen.
Yeah, it's about 10 exits back. But in John, you know, John chapter 2, verse 16, we see, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And 2 Peter 2:3 says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And the merchants of... What's that, Bill?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I was going to go right ahead there. I thought...
And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And we just saw three verses that absolutely tied right into Revelation 13,
absolutely.
17, that, you know, no man might buy or sell.
All three of those verses.
The big key, the key here in this whole deal is in John 2:16, they said they sold doves. And we know that we're, with our understanding of the metaphoric language, that doves are the multitude. The multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision. You know, these are the group that come out of the system, that refuse the mark. And, you know, don't worship the beast. This is who this is about. And this is who Revelation chapter 13 is about. They're the earth dwellers that come out of the, that are redeemed from the earth and joined the remnant seed in the wilderness. And this is what the mark of the beast is. The mark of the beast is refusing, to go along with the harlot religious system on the ultimate layer. This is what matters. This is what matters to Christians. This is a matter of life or death for Christians. Christians must decide to not go along with the harlot religious system. The harlot woman riding the back of the beast system, the beast, you know, the beast government, which is what we're seeing now as this Antichrist system is coming into full power. And we're going to see this thing rise up out of the ashes of the chaos that's coming upon the land. Because I hate to tell you this, folks, but we're in for some hard times. America is going to take its own deadly wound on a layer there. And it's going to be out of the ashes of that devastation. It's going to be the time when this, basically, it's going to be a form of Judeo-Christianity, which is an oxymoron in itself, and we're seeing everything pointing towards Israel now with those you know, those comments we made earlier in the show about the on Beast Watch and the you know, everybody ending up in Jerusalem for world peace. And this is the whole move. This is the whole Antichrist system coming together as deceived Christians are going along with this, taking the mark, and being a part of this fleshly religious system. But we fail to see that God's kingdom is not of this world. And our hope, you know, we put our hope in Jerusalem above, not Jerusalem below. Jerusalem below in Scripture is Sodom and Egypt. That's who it is. And it's, you know, it's, you know, the absolute ultimate deception going today.
Brother Bill.
That's true. Yeah, it's Judeo-Christian universalism.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Were you just reading out of John there about the merchandising of the doves?
Uh-huh.
Those three verses were all about the scorpion. The covetousness,
yes, they were.
The covetousness and the merchandising. That was that's the mark on the hand.
That is.
That's what they're talking about here. It says they got the mark on the right hand.
Wow.
The others get their mark on the forehead, but the specific group there they were talking about, the covetousness, is that's definitely the scorpion.
Yeah, that's a really great observation, Bill. You're right. And yeah, that's the force, the money changers, the you know, like Steve Knox says, the ones that do the heavy lifting for the serpents.
They do the heavy lifting for the serpents, right? Yeah, that was he has that right on.
So when we're going to, yeah, to take it a step further than the mark on the forehead, you know, we definitely see that with the teachers and the you know, and the apostles. The serpents are definitely linked to the liars. You know, those
the forehead
lies
got the
refuge.
Real strong iniquity in the heart.
Yeah,
that's the ones with the marks on their foreheads. You know, they're going to have the Pharisees' mindset.
Right.
You see, Judas wanted to come back and repent. He tried throwing the money on the floor in the temple, and I believe the Pharisees said they had no repentance for him. They couldn't give repentance for sins. And, you know, he's desperate for repentance because he has this grief built up inside of him. He finally, as we know, that he hung himself there in the Bible. And I believe this is what happens to the scorpions, is they have all of this grief, and this is what the lake of fire is. You can live with that grief forever. You finally realize, you know, all eyes will see and every knee will bow, and there's no repentance for this evil sin, and, you know, that's the weeping and gnashing and teeth, and you live, that's eternal grief. That's, you know, that's fire and tribulation. No way of that grief or that sin ever being washed like Jesus washes your sins.
And, you know, and we see another signature of the scorpions in the locust. You know, it's the locust scorpions, the locusts that come out of the bottomless pit, you know, at the fifth trumpet. And we're definitely seeing signs of this today, because one of the big movements in the apostate harlot church system is this Joel's Army mentality. And, you know, these signs and wonders guys that, you know, believe that they're Joel's Army. You know, like Todd Bentley's got dog tags tattooed to his chest that say Joel's Army. And little do these people realize, these deceived masses, they don't realize that this is the army of judgment that comes against the, you know, the church. You know, God uses his own house to carry out his judgment. This is the most ironic thing. And we see
right,
this here because these locusts, who they, you know, they're proud of it. You know, we saw that video where they were proud of the fact that they were the locusts, you know, flying in unison. And
audience, they believe they are doing the will of the Lord.
They believe they're doing God's service.
They are not in covenant with Jesus Christ.
Actually, they are.
And they have the mark of the beast.
Yeah, they are doing God's will for, you know, in his way. But it's just, this is the most amazing thing about the Lord, in that we see how magnificent his plan is. That all the, you know, who would have ever thought that this is how it was going to end up in the last
days? It's also scriptural, of Brother Chris.
What's that?
Yet they'd be told they would not believe this.
Yeah. Right.
Even if you were told this, you would not believe this.
Yeah.
That's the wisdom of our Lord God.
You know, I always thought of locusts and scorpions. I just, what always comes to my mind is just a giant swarm of them, you know? And I think that's what this Jonah's army is going to be, is a giant swarm of them.
And I see that, Bill, is there...
Like a plague upon the land, you know?
That's here.
Yeah, it's here now, yeah. Absolutely.
And
they're going to get worse.
How worse can it be?
This is the season for the locust.
And if we're told the little season, under the context of this, at the mark of the beast, well, I would say spiritually this is all happening. This is current and alive. And they may try and make some money off this chip or whatever they're going to do to store up more great wealth. Spiritually, the beheading is happened. And the recapitulation of our Lord's time is the same. The scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees are running the show and leading the people into the apostate. It's a perfect example.
You know, the chip thing, too, is that you, I see it possibly as just a game. Oh, it'll be another 6 months. Oh, it's coming. You know,
they're going with everything, like the temple and the red heifer and the Sanhedrin. It's always just around the corner.
And I still say they have a...
If they give you the chip, they got no more trump card to play.
That's right. It's like killing bin Laden.
Right.
You know, there's an opening right now. You know, there's an opening for Public Enemy Number One, folks. So if you know anybody looking for a job, there's an opening for Emmanuel Goldstein.
Emmanuel Goldstein.
Yeah. So.
Was that 1984?
Yeah, it's 1984. Sorry.
That's all right. It's appropriate. On one level, 1984 is their script. Now, those are the people that are against you, audience. They're slanderers. Brother Bill, you want to comment on slanderer?
Yes. I just did a little writing on that, and I've got it here. I just need to pull it up real quick. Yeah, it's, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, it speaks about loving thy neighbor as thyself. And Paul says in chapter 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. You know, this is the perfect oneness of God. This is how he gathered everything at the cross. And isn't it just one more example of it? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And, you know, this is basically what the Great White Throne Judgment is about, which we talked about on our show, Chris.
Yeah.
31 through 46. You're being judged how you love your neighbor in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And it's the good, you know, the Good Samaritan wasn't even in the church. This guy wasn't even in the church. And
no, the Pharisee passed him by on the other side of the street.
But what I'm saying is this guy wasn't in the church, and he turns out to be the good guy. So, see, God knows the heart there. That's what he's telling you. It's not about how perfect your doctrine is. It's not about how often you go to church. It's not about how often you try to do everything in the flesh. And maybe you can memorize the Bible upside down, and it's about deep inside of your heart. Is that heart, is there faith in that heart, or is there unbelief? Is it clean or is it dirty? And, you know, he greatly magnified the Ten Commandments, just putting them into this one law. The Ten Commandments are tiny now. You used to have to go in old Israel, you had to go and steal from somebody to be stoned for stealing, didn't you, Bob?
Yes.
Now, if you don't cast this thought out of your mind, you're already, demons are starting to dwell in your heart, or iniquity starting to dwell in your heart. If you've got covetous in your mind, or same way with slander, that's spiritual murder. You don't even have to go out and murder somebody. You just hold these slanderous thoughts in your mind, and then they find a nesting place in your heart, and it starts dwelling there.
In this search, go ahead, Bill.
And he gives you these in verse 19, 20, and 21 of Galatians 5 there. Know the works of the flesh are manifest. So if you've got these thoughts in your mind and in your heart, they're going to manifest through the flesh. So that you've already got it. That's where you stop it. You nip the bud there. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, which I tell you before, as I also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are all spiritual. They're going to attack your mind. And if you don't have your armor of God up, you know, these demons are going to come in and attack your mind. They'll start attacking you as soon as you wake up in the morning.
Audience, the
thoughts in your mind.
The proper rendering of slander under this context is specifically Satan. It's false accuser, it's devil, it's slanderer. And that slanderer, the same context used in Scripture, you want to use the weight of Scripture, tells a very simple story in Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, that's the slanderer, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And we're told there are many, the son of perdition is here. And that's anybody that wants to tell you that they got a different gospel and you shouldn't believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the mystery of this gospel.
Is you know, you that's in John?
Yes.
What you just said is in John chapter 8?
Luke, I'm sorry, did I say John? I meant Luke.
No, I said 12. That exact same thing is in John chapter 8, what Jesus told him in the temple about slander. He said, you're of your father the devil. That's Satan. And the lusts of him you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. It's right there. If he's in your heart, you're a murderer, a slanderous murderer.
And audience, it's a revelation to understand that if ye are the temple of the Lord, his holy vessel, and all around you are slanderers, and you're the good seed, and everywhere around you are terrors. What you need to be aware of is maintaining and enduring that status as in the seventh in the rest of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what they were doing with Chris and his that's exactly what they were doing, Chris and his church. Exactly
and
what you're talking about.
By that example, audience, we go to Matthew 13:39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So you, audience, are the seed of our Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of God, born for such a day as this. You're not a novice in this. You understand the truth of Scripture. You've studied yourself approved. You're in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. You've repented of your sins. You've forgiven everyone that has ever hurt you for any reason. You've purified your mind to do the will of the Lord. And they have not. And you're surrounded. But so are they. So are they. You're witnessing the surrounding of the multitude. Thistles and briars are serpents and scorpions. That's the proper rendering of these scriptures. Brother Bill?
Yeah, they choke off the word. That's what they do. You know, it's like a snake. You know, the snake will choke you. And,
you know, if they're teaching you that you don't have to worry, you're going to be raptured, and Jesus is once saved, always saved. I mean, you know, that's slander right there. They're committing spiritual murder telling you those lies.
On one level it is, and so is your yoga instructor.
Oh, yes.
So is your Eastern doctrines, and so is your doctrines of demons. Anything outside the construct of the Scriptures. anything outside the construct of your covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, you are witnessing the mark of the beast. You're witnessing this live. You could go to the bake sale and you'll recognize this. Because it's the truth. Brother Chris?
Yeah, and, you know, then we're looking here at the last verse. And, you know, hey, Bill, do you want, I'm gonna just share, the stuff that Sue, figured out about, the number of the beast. But if you wanted to add anything to that before I did that, that would be great.
Yeah, which verse are you referring to here?
You know, the last verse in 13. You know, if unless you have anything more to say about 17.
No,
but I
don't.
I just wanted to say, you know, the buyer sell is being merchandise in the harlot church. Woe to them that make merchandise of you. That's what the ultimate meaning of that is, and you don't want to be merchandise in the harlot church. So don't. Come out. Come out of her, my people. Don't be partaker in her iniquities and plagues.
And if you recognize that audience, it's the harlot, come out of her, and our Lord says, come unto me. And he also says, they say they know him, and he says, I knew you not. So if you get the proper rendering of Scripture under the context of what all three of us are conveying, it to come out of the harlot is to come out of the entire construct of Christianity and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in covenant. And you can only do that by the Word, by studying the Word and knowing his truth. And it's the love of the truth that will give you these scriptures, not the Joe Lunchbox crew, not the brothers that are just doing this to because it's the will of the Lord. Brother Bill?
Yeah, that's why we all need to be good Bereans. And, search the scriptures out for ourselves, have our quiet time with the Lord and pray to the Father, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you.
When tempted by Satan, audience, it is the Word. It is the Word. It is the Word that our Lord used. It was not the book of apostate. It was not the copyrighted 501C. It was not the doctor-written book. It was the Word of God. It was the Old Testament. And our Lord gave us the New Testament so that we would, by the spiritual, understand this.
That's what he said. He that readeth, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand.
Aaron, who do we say at night when we pray? What do we say? What do we say? Okay. I'll be right up with you. We're going to say our prayers? Who do we say our prayers to?
You.
No. Who do we say?
You.
Say Jesus. Very good. I'll be right up, okay? All right, you go and you take it easy.
Hey, Bob, I have a problem with that. You having your daughter praying to you? That's really not in Scripture.
Yes.
You really need to take a look at that one, buddy.
Yes. Yes.
So did you want to look at verse 18, Chris?
This is something that's actually really neat, and it's there. I mean, it's right there. It's clear as a bell, and it's an observation that came out of the third day studies. You know, I think it was actually somebody from one of the groups that actually put the pieces together. But we have Revelation 13:18, and for one thing, you'll never see 666 written in the Bible. So, I mean, that's complete a twist. And you see, Revelation 13:18 here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 603 score and 6. And just to close out this study of Revelation 13, we take a look at the Strong's number 660. It's the word Epheph, and it's from H659 in the sense of hissing, an asp, or other venomous serpent, viper. So we see the number of the man, James Strong, that he assigned to serpent as 660. And, this is, it's just almost too simple to be possible. But, you know, I see it and it's here. And, I don't know what else to do with it. But it's, so clear that it's, what 603 score is. And we know that Revelation chapter 13 is about the separation of the serpents and scorpions from the multitude. This is the process of the earth dwellers, who include the serpents, scorpions, and the multitudes in the valley of decision. We see the process of their separation as the multitudes refuse the mark of the beast and come out. And then to take it to one step further, we see how this is written. And his number is 603 score and 6. So the number H6 in the Strong's is abad, which is a primitive root, properly to wander away, to lose oneself, an implication to perish. And really, when you take this thing out, you can tie it right into the scorpion. And the, what does it say about Judas? You know, Judas was a scorpion, and Jesus kept everyone that the Father gave him except for one. You know, only one was lost. How does that verse go, Bill?
All of thine are mine, all of mine are, and I've kept, Father, I've kept all that you've given me except for that one, the son of perdition.
That is lose, yeah. And, that's the theme of the definition of the number H6 that James Strong assigned to, six. The number 6 in his Strong's Concordance ties to that. And so we see a definite signature here. Just something really kind of fun, if you ask me. The Lord is making things so simple. And, since I first saw this, I have tried to say, nah, I can't be. But, hey, there it is right there. And, is that number of a man? Is it the man that we're talking about, Bill, the man of pride?
Well,
yes.
This verse is so deep. There. There's so many layers into this scripture.
First of all,
if you look at 603 score, you got two factions right there.
Sure,
603 score, you got two factions of evil. You got 603 score and you got 6. That's always serpents and scorpions. When you ever see two factions of evil, that's the two factions of evil, iniquity and merchandising.
Yeah.
I equated this to man here is Solomon too, trying to build the kingdom. They're going to try to build Kingdom Solomon on nothing to do with King Solomon, but
right.
That's what they want, is that perfect kingdom on earth. The greatest kingdom there ever was Solomon. And you'll
wasn't
find
that how
that
much
only,
gold? Didn't Solomon have that much gold?
Yes, it's two times in the Old Testament. That exact same number is written two times in the Old Testament. 603 score and 6. And that was the amount of, it said talents. I forget how much a talent was, how many pounds. So it was a lot of gold that he was getting each year. And, here is wisdom. On one layer, I see who was the greatest man of wisdom, King Solomon. And what was he doing? He was turning the kingdom back to man. He was turning it back to beast. See, God dwelt in that temple when he built that temple. It was a spiritual house for God. We know Solomon was good for at least 15 years because he didn't build the temple after he was tested four years. He was already tested. He had been king for 4 years, and then he built the temple in 1011. It took him 7 years to build the temple, and God dwelt in that temple. So that's God's spirit in there. And now it turns into a beast, the flesh, it turns back into man, and God departed from that temple. But there's a lot of readings in that verse, and
the James Straw one is probably very accurate as well. You know, it's,
yeah, on a layer, yeah.
This book is so deep written. It's like, you know, looking up into a sky with a telescope. You actually have to see through it rather than look at it. You know, you can just, there's so much depth in it.
As far as the Mark of the Beast goes, folks, you don't really have to worry about RFID chips or barcodes tattooed in your forehead. What you do have to worry about is the decision that you're making to not be a part of the harlot system. You have to be separate from it. You have to flee to the wilderness. Come out of her, my people. Be ye separate. This is what the church is, the true church. The church that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against. The church is the called out ones. The ecclesia, the ones who understand the call to be separate from the world. And unfortunately today we see in the last 60 years the ultimate manifestations. How far will this still go? We don't know. Sometimes I wonder how long it can possibly go. But we see the diminishment of the gospel, you know, and with signature upon signature, these corrupt Bible translations, the New King James with the occult symbol on the cover, the NIV passing up the King James as the number one seller in 1987. This is all signs of the diminishment of the gospel. And now the gospel, the church, has been leavened. A little leaven has leavened the whole lump, and pride has crept in because the church exchanged the principle of purging sin, of purging pride, which was part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that was continual, to continue into the church age. Well, for some reason, the church decided that that growth was more important than purging sin. And this is what we see.
John Wesley.
And that's what happened. We say John Wesley was probably the founder of the church growth movement because it's the footnotes of the Wesley Study Bible that came out in the late 1700s that interpreted Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, as leaven being the gospel spreading throughout the world. And this is the lie that has probably brought about the ultimate falling away that we're seeing today. When in fact, 1333, the woman, the harlot, took and hid, secret, snuck in, unaware. The leaven snuck in, the pride snuck in. Three measures, the leaven was mixed into three measures of meal. And, you know, there's all kinds of signatures around the three. You know, I see it. My favorite
is the pure
meal.
That's the pure church. That's the pure bride of Christ there. It's
okay.
Pure there. Now they're going to put leaven in it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? He said that the leaven was going to spread around the world. He's absolutely right.
It spread around the world, but not the way that the Lord intended. See Matthew 13. The parables in Matthew chapter 13 are prophetic of the great falling away. Little did we realize, you know, after what we were taught in the church system for all these years, the twists and turns of the way that those parables were interpreted, you know, and I see the three measures of meal as the three distinct apostate movements in the church. One being the purpose-driven, lukewarm, nonsense movement, the Kumbaya church, and then I see the Christian Zionist movement as the second, probably the ultimate one. What we saw in Revelation 13, ultimately the false prophet causing them to dwell on the earth to worship the beast, the ultimate manifestation of the beast is the fleshly kingdom of Israel, which is the abomination of desolation on a top layer, in that Christians are surrendering their birthright as Israel, and they're giving honor to a fleshly group of people that is Masonic deception. The whole concept of flesh Israel is just deception, because Israel is the church. You know, Israel is the born again body of Christ after the cross. You know, the house of the Israel of God. Israel are God's people in covenant. The people who are in covenant with God, that is the definition of Israel. And then, you know, the second leg of the apostasy is this signs and wonder new apostolic movement with all its tributaries of deception, every wind of doctrine, flatteries. All we hear from these pulpits is flatteries, and it's all lies, and it's all leading straight to the lake of fire. These Pied Piper, false prophet signs of, you know, they will, you know, beware that many false prophets shall arise. And there we go again, arise, arise like leaven. Eleven, yeah. Arises, many false prophets shall arise and deceive many, showing signs and lying wonders that, if it were possible, would deceive the very elect. Well, I'm telling you, folks, these people are everywhere. The whole world is permeated with these false prophet liars leading people to the lake of fire. And you need to be aware of it, see it, and flee.
They're all smiling faces.
They come as angels of light.
Yep.
The backstabbers. That's where that song came from. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Smiling faces.
When the hole is leavened, that's the restrainer there.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. The restrainer. The gospel message has been leavened you can't recognize it. And that's where we are today. The gospel message in the church is not the gospel. It's another gospel. Many Jesuses, many Christs shall rise. These are the Christs in these false gospels. You know, they're not the sun, young moons. You know, there's many of those. But ultimately, it's the Jesus of the false gospel messages that are coming from the pulpits of these harlot churches. All prophecy coming, you know, all manifest before our eyes. As we say, the freeway exit. You know, they're looking ahead with their GPS, and they pass the exit, you know, 10 exits back.
Brother Bill, closing thoughts?
Yeah, get in on the covenant while the getting's good. You got to surrender everything.
While it's still can be found.
Right, and, you know, lay everything down at Jesus' feet and pray to the Father to send the Holy Spirit and to guide you to all truth. You know, this was the land that was slayed from the foundation of the world. This covenant was made before the world between the Son and the Father. The covenant was already made back then.
Well, I'd like to thank you both, Brother Chris, Brother Bill, audience.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Audience. This study has brought out a lot of metaphorical scripture, and the application of revelation is very difficult. And we do it with trepidation, and we do it with prayer. And we're told that you need no proper rendering of this scripture, audience. He that receiveth his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. That's the seal of the Lord. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for the God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. And that's the words of this gospel, audience. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.